so we pray. Heavenly Father, we're certainly grateful for this hour in which we live, that you have chosen us out of many people to gather together, Lord, to come and hear your word all together with one thought in mind, and that is the word that the prophet gave us. And we understand only too well, Lord, in this hour that our great request would be to be one with that word, knowing thereby then we are certainly one with you. And so we pray that may be tonight. Clarify our minds, Lord. We pray that we'll understand what is being said by the prophet in such a way as to really put it together, to see it, to understand it, and then become a part of us. Because we know without this, even the very elect would be deceived. But this is our great hope, even as it was when Moses was going into the promised land, or thought he was with Israel. He said, this word is what makes the difference. And we believe, Lord, it is, because it's been made very clear to us by vindication, thereby showing us the truth of the Pauline epistles, especially in 2 Thessalonians, that this is absolutely the truth. Therefore, being founded in truth, Lord, we shall not be in error. We understand that and thank you for it, knowing it's all been vindicated. We praise you, Lord, that we can have peace tonight, an absolute perfect faith in all things now working together for good, all things being possible because you're here. We thank you for this and love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're up to number 14 on Does God Change His Mind About His Word? And last Sunday we paid particular attention to the fact that even if one worships and tries to serve the living God, he is not necessarily a child of God or a true worshiper. And I think this is where people make a blanket statement concerning mankind, that man was so made in the image of God, and by virtue of him having a spirit, that everybody really desires to worship. And innately they know that there is a God. Now that's not really true. The actual fact of the matter is that worship may be intruded into, and people attempt to serve God without being called even to do so. But we saw last Sunday, and we've been looking at it carefully in this message, that everybody that tries to serve God and tries to worship God is not necessarily successful in his endeavors. Now, the Midianites under King Balak exemplify the political cosmos or earthly government. Now, that's Midian under Balak. But under Balaam, you'll notice that Midian represents under Balaam the spiritual cosmos or heavenly government. Now, don't be misled by that statement, because I'm not saying that the Midianites were spiritual and that they really were entering into a spiritual kingdom that had been apportioned unto them and they were possessing it. I'm just saying it represents. So we have a king here who is the political cosmos, and we have a prophet who is leading in the spiritual cosmos, or the things which are supposed to be spiritual, wherein one transcends the other. Now, the spiritual should transcend the political, material, but you'll notice that it doesn't. So you keep that in mind concerning the present situation in the world today, especially America. So, all right, the Midianites under King Balak exemplify, or they type the political, the earthly government, and under Balaam, you're looking at the spiritual cosmos government, and you have them one interwoven with the other, and yet they have specific headships that are different. Now, notice how Balaam failed in his calling in the spiritual cosmos or governmental structure that was on earth. And there was a governmental structure, and he was the one that was representing God. He believed in one God. He was a descendant of Lot. And Lot, of course, was a nephew of Abraham, who came out of the Ur of the Chaldees when Abraham did.
And he's the one that made a very poor calculated judgment. When Abraham said, take your pick, he should have said, well, I'll just stick with you. But he didn't. He took his pick and he ended up as the mayor of a homosexual government. And, of course, these are his descendants. And so if you see that Balaam failed in his calling as actually the governmental head, which would be the representative of God in that particular time. And he knew better, but did not obey God. Now, being what he was, he actually knew to do better, and he didn't. And so, therefore, Brother Branham said that was iniquity. Now, his pride and greed got in his way, for he desired prestige, privilege, and wealth above the truly revealed Word of God. Now, see, he should have been involved with the truly revealed Word of God, which was not given to him, but he had access to, proven by vindication, and he put it aside and became involved in a cosmos earthly government, which was physical, political, when he could have involved himself in a spiritual cosmos. Now, you understand there's such a thing as a good cosmos and a bad cosmos. Most people don't understand that any more than they read your Bibles correctly, and it tells you that the world of the ungodly perished at the time of the flood, but the world of the godly didn't perish. They come right back and took over. So, all right, now, Balaam disassociated himself and Midian from Israel by turning aside the vindicated revelation of the Word. He laid plans to destroy them and even battled them unto his own death. Now, he's a perfect type of the Laodicean Pentecostal chaff age. Now, remember, as Luther came out of Catholicism, the light began to move up. The light went out of the Word. God sent fresh Word. He went to Wesley. Wesley's went to Pentecost, but it was the same growth coming up, so that whatever life there was came up to the time of the Pentecostal outpouring, the restoration, the gifts, etc., etc. And so now you're at the place where there must come life out of the end church age, which will be a resurrection and a transformation and rapture. And a going over. So as Alpha is Omega, and we put our type way back there at the time of Moses and Balaam, we're looking at a Pentecostal chaff age where there is a great danger of people not falling in line with the spiritual cosmos, the true governmental principles of God, but going for the physical and political. Now, he is a perfect picture of the prophets of Matthew 24 that are anointed unto gifts, but not the Word. Now, remember, that's brought out very strongly at the time of the presence, just before the end of the world. And in there, when they're talking about, lo, here is Christ, lo, there, here is the true anointing, here is the Word made flesh, here is reality. He said, believe it not, don't go with them, for as lightning cometh out of the east and travels to the west, so shall also the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man, be. So he tells you right there, as in Luke, the days of the Son of Man would appear upon earth, and of course, as Brother Branham told us so clearly, the same light that was in the east, the same sun that rises in the east, sets in the west. And so, therefore, as the light is consistently moved to the west, the last bastion, of course, is America. And here's where the light settled at the end time. Yet these people use their gifts to destroy the truth. Now, this Balaam is the one mentioned over here in Jude, a little book just before the book of Revelation, talking about the end time. And some very stinging things are said. talking about the end time, he goes right back to the exodus out of Egypt and the entrance into Canaan land. and how Egypt was destroyed, the unbelievers amongst Israel also destroyed, even the foolish virgin destroyed, and the few elect went in. And then he likens that to the angels that lost their first estate and are held in judgment, knowing how he goes taking a step back. Then he comes forward and talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he brings it right down to our hour. And he said, likewise also these filthy dreamers, or these dreamers that defile the flesh, that's where they get the word interjected filthy in there, despise dominion and speak evil of the dignities, yet Michael the archangel and contending for it with the devil about the body of Moses, so on, durst not bring a railing accusation, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. So, you can see they're thoroughly involved in a spiritual exercise that is not dominated by reality, but is dominated by what he already tells you here, nature. By reasoning, which is a part of your cosmos, the wrong cosmos. Notice this brute beast. Now, the word brute there actually means irrational or crazy. Brother Branham said the whole world's going insane and soon would be. And the word beast from the living creature, like Zoan, the living creature, these are crazy people. They're plumb out of their minds, making a differentiation that at the end time, there would be a class of the sane as in contradistinction to the insane, and the sane people alone would be full of the Holy Ghost, and anybody not full of the Holy Ghost would be insane, for the Bible says he had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of courage and a sound mind. So the sound mind could only come from the mind of God. Therefore, you see once more the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is having a sound mind. In other words, that which is set in the government of the spiritual is written out as the true Rhema of God, thoroughly elucidated and brought to our attention as to its perfect revelation. Now it says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Well, so Balaam is mentioned there, and I won't go beyond that at this particular time, except also to take you to 2 Peter. But as there were false prophets also among the people, even so there be false teachers among you. Verse 12, but these is natural brute beasts. There again, you'll find that these people are sold out to the wrong cosmos. They are not a part of the true bride of Christ, as much as they'd like to tell you. And they're made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of the things they understand not, and you're talking now about the Word. And if you want to see people cringe, number one, you bring out serpent seed. That's number one. We studied that in this same sermon here and showed you. Goes right back to the prophet in this latter reign. The teacher with the former reign goes back and sows the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to his position of vindication and restoration at this end time. Now, they're going to perish utterly. Now, you notice the word utterly is used in the book of Acts, the second chapter. I believe it is. Verse 3, whatever, we'll soon find it if it's there at all. And it says, And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear the prophet, verse 23, verse chapter 3, shall be utterly destroyed. You'll find there in your Bible says destroyed, but the actual Greek rendition is utterly destroyed. And you'll find the same thing over there in Malachi, leaving neither root nor branch. You find the same thing in Romans, when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You see the same thing in 2 Thessalonians, when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flames of fire. That visitation is only the sentencing of which he will come back to execute, because it's all going on now. They'll receive the reward of unrighteousness, which is being off the word. What was the reward of unrighteousness for Adam and Eve? Mortality. They died. See? Now, having eyes full of adultery and so on, promising liberty, get you away from your bondage, that you got to believe the word and got to be have a certain standard of understanding of doctrine and so on. Now, this is the beast, the brute beast we're looking at, that goes come back to the Garden of Eden. And you notice in there was a beast in the Garden of Eden, when at that particular time there was immortality based upon a principle of staying with the Word. Now, immortality today is based upon the principle of getting back to the Word. Now, they fell from that in the Garden of Eden. And at the end time, this same religion, which starts with a misunderstanding, misinterpretation, and misleading even by the Word of God, because it's deliberately misrepresented, ends up to the beast in the book of Revelation when he takes the whole world over. So, this fellow Balaam is a perfect picture of Matthew 24 and at the end time, and he stands out as a Laodicean who can't resist trying to be a part of the bigger and better church of God that has increased in goods and lack nothing, and yet he really has nothing. All right. That's enough there, so let's start reading on page 27, paragraph 133, which we looked at as we closed off the last time, as we were looking at 1 Timothy 4, 1-16, and then other certain scriptures. How many Balaams are there in the world today becoming that way by a better position, a better church, a promise of something? When a man gets his eyes open to the Word and the workings of God, and other understands Hebrews 13 and 8, and Ecclesiastes, that God himself essentially does not change, neither do his ways, and you go back to Genesis 19, Abraham meeting God and Sarah, two angels coming down with God at the time of filthy homosexuality, and the judge of all the earth not destroying the righteous with the wicked, that's Hebrews 13 and 8. He's the same yesterday and forever. See, when man gets his eyes open to the Word and the workings of God, in other words, he begins to see how God does convey his Word through vindication by a prophet, God revealing himself, manifesting himself, vindicating himself to a prophet, and that prophet to the people that the Word may come. In other words, you begin to see something. Begin to understand that something's going on here that wasn't going on before. It's got to be God, but you might not be able to place it. Now, the workings of God, and that good man who's got influence will start out as a servant of God, and he holds a good congregation. Then after a while, the Holy Ghost baptism is presented to him, and also baptism in the name of Jesus is presented to him, which is a scripture and the only scripture way to baptize. And when it's presented to him, the denomination knows they're going to lose him when he starts that. They offer him a better position and a change in church. And what happens? He takes it. Now watch. See old Balaamism again, just exactly like it was at the beginning. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Number one, you go back to Satan. Now what did Satan want? He wanted a better position. He had the best position he could possibly get because God gave it to him. See? He was positioned with Michael, who at that time, Christ had represented himself in Michael. Now, I know that's a Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, but it just happens to be true. The old gal evidently guessed it right or something. I don't know, and I don't care two bits. It's been vindicated by the prophet. You know, so many people get their hackles up because Brother Branham teaches something and it was taught by somebody else previously and taught wrong, and then Brother Branham teaches it right. We come along and teach it right. They're ready to kill me, and not knowing they're killing Brother Branham and destroying the Spirit of God. Well, then you might as well throw the whole, everything out Brother Branham taught. He taught the right eternal security, taught the right baptism, taught the right Godhead, he taught everything. Well, all these other guys had taught it wrong, so there can't be any truth in what Brother Branham said. That's why they hit the message of the presence. Well, Rutherford taught it, and this guy taught it. Well, the Catholics are teaching it now. I want to know who came down. The very guys that knew this and taught it years ago and stopped teaching it, where are they? I've just got a near recent track on them. They're back in Pentecost. They're running to meetings where people are talking in tongues and falling over. And Brother Branham said, that was not the Spirit of God. So if you want to fall around here, get out. We'll pick you up and throw you out. Now we get rid of the devil and you at the same time. No apologies, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to run around with these square-headed birds that call themselves followers of the vindicated Word of God and preach a Pentecostal nerd gospel. If you want it, you go ahead. I was just talking about before service. The foundation is the rock of revelation, and a rock doesn't have feelings. It's cold, hard fact. It's irrevocable, irreversible, and stands there in spite of the heat and the cold. Yeah. Where's your emotions gone now? Flat into the hogwash. So we go back to the beginning. Now listen, God had a plan in heaven. If you don't believe that, how come the Bible says, see, thou make all things according to the pattern which I showed thee in the mount? And what was that? The earthly tabernacle based upon the heavenly. The very principles and kingdom of Almighty God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that started that way. And Satan got out of hand. He deliberately said, I don't want this position. I want a bigger position. And, hey, by the way of just taking a look at this thing, let's go back to, I don't know where I'm going to go back to. I might be, you know, my memory's not all that great. Where are we off to? Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 28. No, I couldn't find it. I looked for half of it. I was looking at chapter 14. Now, here it says, verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up to some full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and so on. You were the anointed cherub that covered. I set you so upon the holy mountain you walked. Thou wast perfect in from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He knew better, but he did it anyway. That is against God. He knew better to do and wouldn't do it. Now, what the reason I read about these precious gems and all these jewels and things, if that's where the money is. Money's in the gold standard and in the precious jewels and things. Why do you think the Catholic Church is full of it? Because they're full of idolatry. So you see, it started way back there when Satan wanted to own it all. And it was true when Jesus stood before him and he said, All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. He had every right to say that because he owned it. You see what we're talking about? This fellow Balaam. And Brother Branham said, just like the beginning. So we go back to the beginning. All right. What's the next beginning? The next beginning is that Adam and Eve are put over the earth as God's stewards. That's why the Bible said, be faithful stewards. How can you have a government that wants to get rid of the land, the spotted owl, and they're killing all the species off, hundreds maybe dying per day, everywhere. And man stands back, and that's the very glory of God, the expression of God, go down the drain. And he's privy to the murdering of the very handiworks of Almighty God. And everybody knows when a species died out, it's not going to come back. Although you're stupid bunch of irreverent jackass pinheads that call themselves scientists, talk about evolution. And because there's protein, there's going to be life. Oh, shoot.
Well, I hope I'm on the right side of the ledger in the White Throne Judgment. Because if I can feel this hot, you better believe that God feels hot. He said, brother, but I don't think you should. He said, don't be lukewarm, or I'm going to puke you out. I don't intend to end up as vomit. I want to be cold as ice. I want to be hot. One of the two. And this is what can really make me hot, when these guys blab their mouths off. Because, you see, this is exactly what happened back in the Garden of Eden. The beast stood there. And Adam and Eve were the co-rulers in the household of Almighty God. And this woman and this man were literally over the beasts of the field of which the serpent was one. And the serpent gets out of his place by using the word of God to take control of these two people. You know what he did? He perverted the word. And he threw in a cosmos, unspiritual, physical, into the spiritual cosmos of unreasoning. Because spiritual cosmos doesn't reason because it's already reasoned. Understand what I'm saying? The omniscient, omnipotent God did all the reasoning. Within himself, it came out. Because he's God. So now, they're poking that into it. The beast pokes it in. Now watch. Eve now falls for it. Eve represents the church. So now we've got Balaam in the beginning of the physical. Because you see, he listens. Even though he has the unadulterated, actual word of the living God demonstrated before him, and he is partaking in the heavenly power and the kingdom which is to come. Now that's in Acts, the second chapter, but it's also basically in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. For it's impossible for those who are once enlightened, once for all enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come. If they turn it down, they are finished. Now, that happens in everybody's life in the sense of turning it down, you're gone. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a juncture. And the juncture is the time of a definitive mighty revelation that the first church age, no matter how steep they were, and ready for rapture, Brother Branham said, but the time wasn't ready because the bride wasn't in. The Ephesian church, they weren't privy to the understanding of Melchizedek. He said, this is for people of strong meat. And they were only milk Christians at that time. But at the time of the end of the burning, and the burning is in verse 8, He said here, they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, because they can't repent anymore. The earth drinks in the rain that comes off to fawn us seven times. God brings his word down. Brings forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars rejected, nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Every time you see burning, you know right away it's the end time, right after tribulation. And we're getting there pretty close. You know, we're gone out of here, there's only 3.5 years left. And that's just boom, like that, you know, really, in the time. So, all right, the next thing you see is Cain. Now, Cain is of the same spirit as was the beast taken over in the garden. And ever since then, you know, nature's ruled over man, beast ruled over man, man's scared of everything.
Well, he takes a gun and does certain things, but, you know, it's just nature still has gotten man completely bamboozled. Now, we see it in Cain. And that's what we saw in Peter and in Jude. This very same genealogy. You're looking at this system that came down, and it goes into Balaam. And Balaam is a man who's attempting to serve God. He can hear from God. He's a genuine prophet in the sense of a seer that can look into things, but he is not a word prophet. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't prophesy concerning events and eventualities that have to do that are coming upon the land, even God's people. Now, remember, the only reason he gave that prophecy was because he pushed God against the wall. And God said, you're not going to curse them because I blessed them. And this man said, I'm going down, and I think I'll be able to twist God's arm, and I'll be able to curse him just the same because I've got this entree with God. But he was smart enough to say to Balaam, I can only open my mouth, and what God puts in there, I'll say because God's going to say it. And he was just a hoping and a praying inside, thinking inside, out of this mouth's going to come cursing on Israel. So what happened? God double-crossed him, puts him up against the wall. You're a fool, God. And out of his mouth came this prophecy, which would not have come otherwise. Don't tell me would it, because it wouldn't. You just better read the book of Genesis, and you see where prophecy really comes up. So God just turned the tables on this bird, and the genuine prophecy is still coming to pass. Sure. So you see, when Brother Branham mentions this, it's not as though this church is devoid of the Spirit as to the machinations, the mechanics, and manifestations of the true Spirit of God. It's the people in their soul that are destitute. Now, I said a while ago that God had set Satan in a certain place. And Satan didn't want to stay there. He wanted better. He wanted something better. More prestige, more money, more everything, more this and that. Owned the whole world, and he got it. And you see now Eve, she just dumped it all away. Then Cain determined he'd take it by killing Abel. Let's get rid of these scuzzballs here, and we'll just take it all. Now you got Balaam doing the same thing. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to see some things here. It says in verse 18, Now God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Now, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. Then he stops that because he's dealing with gifts. Now you go back to Ephesians, it tells you, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. There's a fivefold ministry that's absolutely ordained of God. And now listen, these other things are gifts. So therefore, the major gift in the church is miracles. The second major gift is healing. The third major gift is helps. The next is governments. Then it says diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, all teachers, all work miracles, all gifts? No. And yet I'll show more extra way. Now, let's go to Ephesians. So you'll see what we're dealing with here. And that's the fourth chapter. And it says God has set some in the church. He gave the apostles, he sent it up on high. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, he doesn't name them the order that's named in Corinthians because he's not putting them in order. But notice, these are all fivefold ministers, and the purpose is to bring perfection to the saints. Now, there's absolutely nothing said about gifts bringing perfection. Every one of these people here, each one is ordained to do something for the bride, in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ, because each one has his particular office that he is to fulfill. Now, when you look at the gifts of the Spirit that are not men, but are literally manifestation of the Holy Ghost, just gifts of the Holy Ghost, tongues, interpretation, all those things, you can see that nowhere have they been called to bring perfection to the church. So therefore, if the church requires restoration and is going to be set in order. It cannot be set in order by the restoration of gifts. It must be set in order by the restoration of gifted men, which number one is a true word prophet, and number two is a true fivefold ministry that will say only what the prophet is saying. So, all right, you can see Balaam here goes all the way back to the beginning, and he is 100% out of divine order. See? Now, let's read page 20, paragraph 134. Now, that man who reads the Bible, he can't read it unless he sees that's the truth. In other words, he's telling you right here, if you read the Bible, you've got to recognize that at the end time, Balaam appears again. And he appears in the company of Cain and Korah. And he's got to go come back to Satan. But you see, they don't believe that, because they don't believe that Cain is serpent seed. If you can't believe that, your Bible hasn't got a foundation. How are you going to attribute to God to have any justice in foreknowledge and predestination? You can't do it. That would be a very wicked situation. Now, notice, there's nobody ever baptized using the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a Catholic creed, not a Bible doctrine. No person of the Bible was ever baptized for 300 years after the death of the last apostle, but was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church started that, and the rest of them come to it. And it came to it. Any minister sitting in his study will look at that and know that's the truth. But for popularity, to hold his position, to be better thought of amongst the people, he compromises. Now, Brother Branham mentions baptism. Because baptism is basic to Scripture. It's a Bible teaching. It's a doctrine. And you will baptize according to your theology. If you're a Trinitarian, you're going to have to baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you understand there's one God, you will baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So the baptism will instantly show where this person stands. Now, you'll get people who will fuss and say, well, these men here cannot be idolaters. I talked to a certain guy on the phone certain times, and I can get his hackles up pretty good. And so I said, hey, what I can't figure about you is, how did you read all these guys, and you believe what they say, and you're supposed to believe in one God, and they're all Trinitarians? Now, I said, a Trinitarian is an idolater. Man, he blew his stack right there. So I know the guy doesn't believe one God. He's a liar, kidding himself. He is a Trinitarian in his heart. You know, the time Paul got angry was the time that they tried to destroy his concept of the word. That's the time that Jesus got angry. They never got angry because of things people just did to them. It always had to be something concerning the word. But you know, it'll sure drive people up a stump if you give them the word and they're not ready for it, I tell you that. All right, now you say, well, but you say God blessed him. Certainly. Some of them have got gifts of healing. Some of them have great campaigns. And that rubbed right in their face. And they get the same answer from the Word of God that you or any other man would get. God doesn't change. See what I mean? Okay. Now, what Brother Branham is saying here, people say, well, look, you're likening the people today to this fellow Balaam. But I want you to know God is blessing these people. God is answering his word to them. He is fulfilling the promises that are in the Bible. And you see, when you take that view, then you are entirely off the word of God. Now, David had a real problem with that same thing. As we say, if these people are unrighteous, they are insane, they're irrational. Now, they think we're irrational, but they're wrong. We are rational, they're irrational. Because we got the Holy Ghost, therefore we have sane minds. We have not been given an unsound mind. We've been given a sane mind and power, love. That's what we've got. We know it. They don't, but we do. We know they haven't got it. They think they do. They see, they're critical now of this fellow Balaam, of us talking about Balaam, though they know Balaam, something's wrong with Balaam. Now, the legalist, they backslid. And the other guy, I don't know what he says anymore because I haven't been reading after him. But I know they got this idea that Balaam here, although he's evidently categorized as a bad guy, it doesn't have a thing to do with them because they're walking in the light. They got the Holy Ghost and everything else. Now, the question comes up, what about these fellas that are literally, seemingly, and you can't deny it, the evidence is there, that they are absolutely people that are blessed to God. Well, you know, David had that trouble. So we're going to go to the 37th Psalm, and we're going to start reading. And as usual, we like a lot of Bible with everything Brother Branham said, because it does more for you than to just take what he says without going to the source where he got it from. And notice what it says in Psalm 37, and this fit me years ago, till Brother Branham explained the anointed ones of the end time, how it worked, the two vines. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now remember, on that great day, Jesus said, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now you read this psalm here, and it sounds as though David is fussing about the king of Nineveh, or somebody down in Egypt, or somebody somewhere, but not in Israel. No, sir, he's right in Israel, and it's in a high place of authority. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, that's a good thought for today. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Brother Branham will talk about that shortly. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. In other words, he's going to make it terribly, terribly evident. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You know, burnt up like chaff. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Now you're right back to Cain and Abel. Religion, you see. Remember, Israel is a religious nation. We're dealing with the 12 tribes of Israel. David never had any trouble with the heathen. He could whip the spots off them overnight. It was that monkey Saul and his bunch of yo-yos that he had trouble with. I want to know the truth. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Now remember, the beginning of righteousness is a true revelation. So what you're looking at here are the two vines. You see, remember, the whole Bible does not actually deal with politics. It deals with the scripture, deals with spiritual things, and it has to deal inadvertently with the political. It wasn't meant to. Do you think there'll be politics when we're all reborn out of the dust of the earth and our bodies are normal? No, of course not. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed of the evil time. In the days of the famine they'll be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And let's get on right down now here. Now, verse 35. I have seen the wicked in his great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. If you didn't see that half the time, but Brother Branham, I did. He's the man that God used with the gift of healing that brought the vindication of God, the power of God back on earth, that set all these things in motion, where men like Oral Roberts and Tommy Osborne, all these other fellas, even men like Brother Bosworth had to come to him. There was no man of the stature of Brother Branham. Yet you see how these people begin to spread out. How in the world could a guy like Swagger take in $139 million and have about 600 churches or so listening to him? I wouldn't give him the time of day. If you talk about a bunch of lukewarm slop, that's it. And you think he didn't know better? No, he slandered Brother Branham. No trouble at all. Where is he today? Where's Osborne? Where's Roberts? Where's all these guys? God even holding Osborne captive for $4.5 million. I don't think that God would do that. I think he'd want at least $45 million. You talk about it. See, they're spreading themselves. Watch, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now you're at the perfect end time of the perfect trust, the perfect faith. So you see, David couldn't understand that. Now, I'm not likening myself to David, but I understand what he went through. Because he could see these people here, the false anointed ones. Man, everything just turns to them. But they don't realize that it's a temporary thing, see? They believe because they get answers to prayer, to certain promises, that they absolutely have to be true believers. And yet Brother Branham said the truth when he said even a person going to a witch doctor again, he can't get healed because they believe they're approaching God. 136th verse, paragraph. Balaam went for a better position, or so he thought. Now look, when that better group came back, Balaam then took a phony text, see? The better group came back, and he ought to have said, get out of my presence. I told you the word of God, get going. That's thus saith the Lord. But you see the gifts. And to be a more popular man, led him astray. See? In other words, let's face it. Brother Branham said, these people know better, and we showed you that they do know better, because they certainly do. There's no two ways about it. 137. Oh, how they like to do it. We'll send you all over the world. We'll give you a special plane. We'll sponsor your meetings everywhere if you'll just. What about the time Organ Bright wanted Brother Branham to go to Europe? If I'd have, they'd have taken me along too, sort of a flunky, to put pressure on Brother Branham. But wasn't the kind of guy to put pressure on Brother Branham. He'd have to make his own decision. Going to give him a special time over there. Just said, well, just come on over. Give you a nice vacation. God said, well, if you're going to go over there for some particular thing and a period of time, be worth your while, but just for a little vacation, a few days, forget it. So Brother Branham didn't go. How many people are willing to just take advantage of a ministry that God's given them and then use it for their own gain or illegitimate goings-on? See? Well, we'll sponsor your meetings everywhere. You just stick with us. Oh, no. See, we know what the Word says. We know what God said. We're going to stay with that with God's help. See, no matter what kind of a promise and how much more you can pay and how many this, that, or the other you can produce, we want, thus saith the Lord, and what he said here first. Well, you know, of course, that God isn't going to say one thing and then improve on it. For he's going to be a God of evolution. That's why people try to tell me that the God who said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, said turn the other cheek now and don't listen to that anymore, is a God that evolved. That's a lot of hogwash. The God that said an eye for an eye, if you don't believe it true, an eye for an eye, you're going to find out it gets worse than an eye for an eye, because the more grace that he gives, the more we're going to have to pay back. Because at the end time, it said double unto her double. So whatever the Catholic Church handed out and the Protestants handed out, living with the Catholic Church and playing footsie with her, they're going to get four times back what they dished out. If you double-double, imagine if you want to put the square roots, then you're going to be in real trouble. If you have a double-double and you double that, put it again, you got four to the fourth power. That's really going to be up there. So, I'm not a mathematician. I'm going to try between the lines of the Bible, because I never even looked at the, you know, what the Greek says, and I wouldn't know too much anyway. Just compare words. See? So, God never changes. He just said, look, judgment is mine, said the Lord, I'll repay. There was a time when a righteous nation was supposed to take the government God that he laid out and use those executive laws and orders and see that they were carried out. But not now. God's just like Brother Branham. Preach the word and stand back and watch it. I've learned a little bit about that. Not too good, but I've learned a little bit. Just preach and stand back and watch it. Nobody's going to ride herd. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. You won't go to your television sets? Keep your television sets. You'll find out you pay a big price for your television sets, kiddo. If you got too many wrong video cassettes in your house, you're going to pay a price for that too. I pay a price. Everybody pays a price. What are you trying to kid? You think a fool with God? Come on. A vindicated God that showed these things. He can read people's hearts. And Brother Van said, don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, I just don't understand. But I just stand up here and preach the word of God. You do what you want. I'm going to come around and check on you. That's Bob's job. He wants to do it. If he's sucker enough to do it, let him do it. He gets a few pies in the feet in his face, he'll learn better next time. Simple as ABC. See, I can afford to preach this way. I got nothing to lose, everything to gain. So I don't think I like you anymore, Brother Dale. Well, who said you're supposed to? You're supposed to love me. You ought to like me. It's a different story. One guy said, he said, love your wife doesn't say you have to like them. Is he? We're going to stay with the Word of God. See? No matter what kind of promise, how much you can pay, how much this or that, we want thus said the Lord. See? They want vindicated Word. Well, the church said, hey, that's secondary. See? Like, in other words, here William Branham comes with vindication ahead of the Word, which proves what he's got. They come after the Word, which merely is promises. And you can pick those up left and right. Well, that they say, and they put Brother Branham as secondary when he's primary, and they're secondary. They've already lost the race. Yeah. The race is over. They've lost him in second. Anybody would pay the horses? You didn't? I'm not too embarrassed about it. I played the horses. Usually, the winner pays off good. Unless the odds are too close because he's just too good a horse. Well, you get those horses up there paying 10 to 1. You put a $2 bet down, that's 20 bucks. The next horse usually pays about $3. Now, I'm trying to tell you something. The winner takes all, usually. Secondary is gifts. Primary is the giver, which is God in a human form. Prophets giving the word to us. But you see, they reverse it. They're already out of the race. And they'll try to tell you they're winning it. Say, listen, bud, the horse came up and the board shows what the odds were and who won. The long shot. 70-1. Say, wow, $1,000, I got $70,000. Yep. We're talking now about eternity. How many times does one go into infinity? An infinite number of times. How many times can your life and mine go into eternity? An infinite number of times. There's no ending of it. See, these guys are losers. It's secondary. Primary lets you know where you stand. Go to business school. Go to accounting. Go any place you want. Always primary. Takes the cake. The rest are just playing around. Right? Certainly. They said, well, that's secondary. No, it's primary. We want what God said at the beginning. Now, we know what secondary is, see. We want what God said at the beginning. Anything added or taken away, why, even your name gets taken out of the book of life if you do that. To add one word to it, take one word away from it. We want what he said, not what the church says, what Dr. Jones says, what somebody else says. We want thus saith the Lord and what the word said. Well, how do you get thus saith the Lord? There's only one way to get it, and that's from God by the way he has planned it. That's through the prophets. And the most beautiful thing is that God laid it out before the people in such a way that they had to go to him and say, Lord, we want it this way. And then God did it that way. And they said, well, hey, I don't think we like that. God said, just a minute now, that's what you said. What are you going to do? You know, did anybody think that God's behind the eight ball? Do you think that God's got a gag on his word? Yeah, no way. And you know what? We don't have to gag on God's word. It's marvelous for us. It's just the tonic we're looking for. There's healing in it. In fact, there's immortality. Now, you see, the problem here is they're trying to use God via his word rather than God fulfill his word by them according to his purpose. See? They want to manipulate God by his word. Like Alan said, go in the clothes closet, lock yourself in. Throw away the key till God does something to you. How come he died an alcoholic? How come the day he lay in that room dead, he'd already made a tape, and he said, people say I'm dead. Does this sound like the voice of a dead man? He was in the room dead when the tape was played, I understand. He had no trouble fighting Brother Branham and his gang all round up. Here are men that play second fiddle in the orchestra, and they think they're the concert violinist. They think they're Isaac Stern or Perlman. And not as good as old Lee Dale trying to play a plunk, plunk mandolin. His fingers too sore to play it. See? Problem is they're trying to use God via his word rather than God fulfill his word by them according to his purpose. He set him in the church. He knew what he wanted. He said, Balaam, look, you're right here in this spiritual position. Now look, go ahead. Balaam starts right ahead. Sincere. But he goes by the way. What is it? He doesn't have what it takes to stick to God's eternal purpose. There's something missing in his soul. Now, we know the answer. I'm just putting it in here. But now we find Balaam a servant to God. And again, who isn't a servant to God? He's a servant of God. And many of these men start out and they're ordained of God. Are they ordained of God? Oh, absolutely. Now, just a minute. There's two uses of the word ordained. Let's take the one over here, first of all, in Jude, the fourth verse. And it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before old of old ordained to this condemnation. Notice. Let's read that. Third verse, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now what is happening? They're destroying the once for all faith. They're doing something to it. Now naturally, the once for all faith is the revealed word of God all written out here, vindicated. Now, what's the thing they can do about it? They can take from it or add to it. That's all. That's why the Bible says that. That's all you got to do. Take it or add. No, there's nothing else. You say, well, just a minute. What if I explain it? Well, aren't you either going to take from it or add to it? If you don't get your explanation right? Certainly. That's all there is to it. Now, he said, these people, they creep in unawares. That's what Paul said in the 20th chapter of Acts. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. The word ordained is not the same as a man is ordained of God. It's they were written about. It was said in the book these people would be there and do it. They are not in the record of God as God's children. And where in the name of common sense did they come from? Anybody, listen, who's even begin to guess and look at the word with even a half an ounce of speculation and interest, he'll come up with an understanding to begin with. Oh, there was a serpent race on earth at the same time as Adam and Eve, and the serpent race mingled with the children of God. I got news for them. There wasn't a serpent race. There was a serpent period. And he cohabited with Eve and brought forth Cain. From then on, the fat was in the fire. The trouble, see? Now, you won't find Cain in the genealogy. He can't be. Eve was the mother of all living, but Adam wasn't the father of all living. And remember, it's in the midst of the church that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, because we're all of one source. These aren't of the same source. But they're written about. Now they've crept in the church way back at the beginning. See? And it's a condemnation. Ungodly men. They're not righteous. What does it mean? They're off the word. How would they creep into the church in that day and say, I want to tell you people something, get this flat. This business of Jesus Christ. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, boy. Even a three-year-old kid will look at it. What did you say? Why, the fat's in the fire. You talk about a fight? They never said that. They say, hasn't the word of God by Paul said so-and-so? Just like the devil did. Just like he came to Jesus. Like he came to Eve. Hell, I'll tell you something. Let's go back here in the book of Isaiah and see something. You're not seeing it. They never took the Pauline revelation. The Pauline revelation is 100% to the Gentiles. You can forget everything else. You say, Brother Bell, I think I'll go back and study this and that. Go ahead, idiot. Paul's gospel. The world gets judged by it. He even called it my gospel. And what do you want this and that for? Well, you say it's okay for those Germans. You bet it's okay for those Germans. I've got no fight with them, but I do have a fight with them. Come over here and tell me Brother Branham made 53 mistakes and Brother Branham didn't say this and didn't say that. Why should he? He's a prophet of God. You're just some bird up there. Amen. See, they can't keep their mouth shut. They're adding to it, taking away, pulling it apart. He said, by my gospel. And because you believe in that day, you'll miss the judgment that that brings on the earth. So you want to look all around for and say, ah, this, that, and the other thing. What? Oh, come on. You know, it's kind of fun to change somebody else's recipe. But it might not be too much fun eating it. There are too many people fooled with this Bible. And you're going to have to eat your words. You better be careful. Now, these guys here were ordained unto it. It was written about them. Now, over here in the book of Romans, you absolutely find that there are two groups of people. And again, it mentions predestination. And it said before the children were born and not having done good or evil. It was already foreknown of Almighty God which was his child and which was not. Because the earth had become one lump of clay. Remember, it was when the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw they were fair, and they intermingled to the extent that the last true human being on earth was Noah. From that time was all over. It had to be election. That's why God said, Abraham, of you of all men have I chosen. And from that time on, you see God taking his the life that's in the sperm and bringing it on down through natural election, so Brother Branham could say it's the virgin birth is nothing compared to an ordinary human birth. Because all God did is create an egg and a sperm, put in an incubator. Ha! Nothing to that. When you think of the male ejaculate, trillions and trillions of sperm by billions of men over the period of time, and that's come on down, and God knew every single seed in it. And every egg? Oh, come on. That's a virgin birth would be nothing. Because we're talking about a creator. Whew. You know, anybody can almost make anything and try to control it. Right? You bet. You know what I'm talking about. So God made it. The thing is getting in control. See, it got out of control. But the interruption. But the interruption soon be over. Now he said in here, this is the, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same cause have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. In other words, God allowed him that position on the throne and all the whole thing. But he was not of God. God allowed it. See? Now these people here that we're talking about are not any special election and foreordination and predestinated and so on as the bride is. But they are there according to the scripture. And Brother Branham said they start are ordained of God and do speak God's word in many things. But when it comes to the full truth, they don't do it. So number one, Brother Branham is saying what we said all along, almost every single sermon we say it. Truth as doctrine takes precedence over all our actions and works. Truth as doctrine, passive faith, takes precedence over every act of faith and obedience to that word that we're trying to accomplish and live. No matter what, it's believing that word. And that's the evidence of being seen. The Holy Ghost comes upon us to develop it, word by word. How many minutes we got? I'm not going to be able to tangle the rest of Scripture tonight because we're going to go into Matthew 13 and right down the road into Peter and show you what we are talking about here. That this is exactly what we're talking about. Jesus has already spoken about it and brought it all to light. And people read those parables and they pass right on, you know. You know? Sweetly, serenely. You know, that's all. They're just sleeping people. They don't know what it's saying to them. But then again, how can they know? So we don't talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. We'll just go straight on tomorrow morning, starting on page 29, and get into what we're looking at here to understand even more thoroughly how that this man was right there as a high spiritual officer, representing God, representing the kingdom on earth, and getting so confused because he didn't have innately what it would take to keep him from confusion. He goes right in and mixes with the governmental, materialistic, reasoning cosmos, leaving the true cosmos of God alone. Now, where are you standing tonight, brother, sister? If you want to stand with the spiritual cosmos, you've got to go to that revealed word and don't move from it. Because that's where life and death is. The life is in the word unchanged. Death is in the word that is changed. Because the devil doesn't have a word. Do you know that? The devil doesn't have a word. He was created. So where did he get his words? He got them from God. What did he do with them? Perverted them. Took them out of context. Took them out of place. Added. Took away. So, well, let's get back to the word. Amen. Let's get back to the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you again tonight for helping us. Even just a few little old paragraphs here, but sure good to just see the richness of the word that's behind it all, that Brother Branham could say in just these few words, the condensation of all this material we're looking at, to see this hour in which we live, to know that it's there. And like he said, don't unchristianize anybody. We don't have to. We have to unchristianize Balaam. Balaam was one believer in God. He did his own unchristianizing. Here was the judging word that day right there, and Balaam walked right off. And here we are at the same thing right at the end time. Father, we just pray that every single person in this building is just devoted to that word, whether they really understand or not. We're not looking at that. We're looking at the fact of a vindicated word when God vindicated himself to a prophet and vindicated the prophet to us, that the word might be vindicated. This we believe, and we believe, Lord, as the prophet said, we got to go back to Paul. Just think just how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it, bringing us the truth, standing on it, resting on it in that day, in this hour, to know the judgment is passed over. It's been decreed. There is a righteous, absolutely glorious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that didn't even do this thing at all. Stands right there perfectly righteous and whole. And if we're not part of her, Lord, by the grace of God, as the prophet said, we don't want to stand in her way. Help us to just rejoice in truth tonight, Lord, because that's wonderful within itself. And you said love does rejoice in truth. So there's got to be some love of God shed and abroad in our hearts by that wonderful Holy Spirit that we rejoice in the truth, especially in the inner man. Now by your grace and power, Lord, it'll overcome that outer man, the mind and the spirit, and just bring everything under control to the word, what you said in the church. Praise God. And Lord, you've set yourself in the church. And now coming down through the word, getting ready for people to go home. Wind up history. And start it anew in the glorious eternities. Help us further tonight as we enter your service. Looking at the blood offering, the sacrifice. Looking at the blood that was shed. And foot washing. These things we commend to you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll just go ahead here and let me see. Well, I don't know. I just kind of feel to go back to John again. I get back and forth between 1 Corinthians and John. In the 13th chapter of John. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, you know, Jesus said, all that the Father shows me I do, and all that he tells me I repeat you. And he said, it's not only that, but he said, the Father in me is doing the works. Now, what is that spirit in our midst tonight? Well, that spirit, Brother Branham called Elohim. He called it different, called it Jehovah, called it many appellations. But we know this, at least I believe we do, according to 1 Corinthians 15. According to what Brother Branham said, when the Lamb tore the seals off the book, handed the book back to the Father, then the Father came down in Revelation 10 and 1, and he climbed upon the throne. I would say the one in Revelation 5 and 1, Revelation 10 and 1 is here. And I would say this, that same pillar of fire that was identified, he was Jehovah, he was Elohim, the same one that led Israel. I say that same one is here because that pillar of fire is going to lead us into the millennium. And I would say this also, according to Brother Branham, would say when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King to King and Lord of Lords. And that'll be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the altogether lovely, and so on. So what I'm looking at right here is that when it came time for Jesus to depart, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Now there's going to be a time when that one that's in our midst, that spirit is going to depart. But praise the Lord, he's going to take us with him. Because he loves us to the end, and that's the end we're looking for. We're looking for the resurrection and the incarnation, the immortality, the resurrection within us, corruptibility putting on incorruptibility, mortality being made immortal. And supper being ended, the devil now put in the heart of Jesus Iscariot, Simon, son of Betrayal. Now what supper is ended? The supper on earth. But there's a waiting supper soon to come. Now, our supper on earth is just about ended too. In other words, the spiritual seed, feed, food in due season, the spread that God put before us, the fresh killed meat, all those things Brother Branham taught us, are before us. And remember, we will not get out of here till it's all ended. That word must come to pass. And now, let's not give ourselves over to folly. Wherein we're going to try, as I said a little while ago at the start of the sermon, how some people don't understand that the solid rock foundation does not give way to emotion. Heat doesn't bother it. Cold doesn't bother it. What people do don't bother it. It just stands right there because it's rock, solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the rock of revelation. In other words, it doesn't have a thing to do with reasoning. It has to do with what it is. And that's what we're looking at, vindicated word. You see, we're looking at that. Now, these men, as I say, simply cannot wait for the Word of God to be fulfilled. Now, what did Brother Branham say? He said when the rabbit comes out of the pen, or the chicken comes out of the pen, it starts walking around looking for the hole that it came out of. Anybody ever do chickens? Let me see. Sure, good. You ever notice when the chicken gets out of the pen, looking for the hole he got out of? And the stupid nut can't get back in. Most of the times, you grab to open the gate, or you grab him by the feet and you throw him over the fence. You hope he lands on his neck or something. You're so mad at him by the time you chase him down, her down. She's usually a hen. Who knows? Well, mostly hens, because they're the ones that lay the eggs. Don't need a lot of roosters around the place, because who needs them? You want eggs for breakfast. So you did, and a rabbit does the same thing. See? That's your brother, the Pentecostal. You got a Pentecostal nature, you're going to go back. I heard a man preach a fantastic sermon on 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. What did he end up as? Pentecostal preacher. Right back where he came from. Why, he said, you just can't live on that brand of message. He said, there's not enough to it. There's no excitement. How would you like to bend over while I used a double barrel shotgun full of rock salt on you? You'd get excitement. And you know, how in the face of a messenger of that man's stature and what God did, how can you come up with such puerile, stupid arguments that you've got to have excitement? You're back to the secondary. Have you ever owned a second mortgage on a house? Forget it. Forget it. Second mortgage isn't worth the paper it's written on. Unless the guy's got a conscience and wants to pay you. Or you can wrestle him and get it from him. What do you want secondary for? Why trade in organization for headship of God in my midst tonight? See, and what I'm trying to show you, he loved them unto the end. The end is not yet, praise the Lord. And you'll get your portion yet, praise the Lord. In God's storehouse there is plenty, more than enough for 120, and you'll get your portion yet, praise the Lord. We sang that in Pentecost. Didn't know what we're talking about. Sure was good though. Now we know what we're talking about. We've got our portion. That which is perfect has come. Now let it be worked out. If it seems tedious, get to the word where the excitement is. I can just feel like a new man just studying these messages here. My aches and my pains start to go, and I feel like, hey, maybe I'll just survive until I get my change. Well, if the worms get me no different, God will get it back. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now, you see, what was at that time? Everything into his hands was concerning redemption. And he said, it's finished, it's over, this part. Knowing then that God would raise him, which he did. Now then, listen to me. All things are now committed to God concerning Jesus, who is looking for his kingdom. Who's down here putting the church in order? Elohim. God himself. What's he doing? Putting everything under the feet of Jesus, who's now on his Father's throne. And who comes back? He comes back incarnated, riding upon the white horse and the bride with him to take over. You see how things work out? You got parallel after parallel after parallel. Scripture fulfilling itself. You say Scripture fulfills itself? Yes, because the life is in the Word. That sounds strange, but it's true. You think, well, somebody's got to come along and do this. No, it's done. You ever hear self-rising yeast? Well, if it didn't rise by itself, it wouldn't be self-rising yeast. You know, that's... Well, I just wonder how people think. Not that I'm thinking too well myself, but at least I think I've got my head screwed on a little bit, right? See? Now God is bringing it all back to him. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girds himself. Now what do you got here again? Without belaboring this, you got God himself today laboring amongst his people to bring them to a perfection where every single one is made perfect, for they without us cannot be made perfect. Here we're going to be standing here and changed immortal, and he's going to take us all back into glory. Great presentation up there. God incarnates himself in that body once more. We stand there with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. See, this is going on now because it is the last hour. Now, notice Peter says, hey, I don't think I'm going to let you do this. Now these people are going back to Pentecost and saying, well, I don't think I'll let God work this out. That's a nice analogy. I think I'm getting out of here. Maybe the word analogy is wrong, but we're getting it out here. That's what they're doing. Well, I just don't. Well, I can't let the Lord do this and the Lord do that. Hey, if he's setting the church in order, we are not setting ourselves in order. He is setting us in order. Our red word says he's setting the church. Every member the way he wants it. You see, but you see, the devil got out of order. Now, people are getting out of order because they won't stay with that word. How do you think Eve got out of order? I'll tell you how. God walked off and left him. But he left them exactly right with exactly right so they could be exactly right. And Brother Branham said, you've got everything under those seals to put you in a rapture. Well, before the seals, you're in Pentecost. Now that goes for all of you because it's the Pentecostal age of chaff. Whether you spoke in tongues or not, forget it. Lutherans are gone a long time. Methodists are gone a long time. Pentecost. Now at the chaff age, the life is coming forth. And Peter said, hey look, I won't let you minister. And Jesus said, well then, he said, you never part with me. Now watch then what happened. Peter goes overboard. What I'm trying to show you, if you are an unstable person, you will simply be unstable, period. But if you are rock grounded in God with this word, you'll stand right there and let God perform what he wants to perform, knowing he is right and he's going to get us out of here. But you see what happened here? Impetuosity to the extent that man could not settle down and say, well, look, Lord, we've seen the vindication. Poor old Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Nobody told you this but God. You didn't get up except by God. Oh, he was happy. Then Jesus said, I got to die and suffer. And he said, far be it from you, Lord. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But you know, Peter settled down. And maybe there's going to be much of settling down. Maybe I'm too pessimistic. No, I don't think I am. Not from Hebrews 6. I couldn't be too pessimistic. When they go back, they go back. He said, Brother Ben, maybe you never came up. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just kidding myself. But I can understand this. Now, Peter swung wild. He said, let's start all over again. Oh, he said, Peter, hold it. What about the last days? For stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, yet for all that they will not hear, saith the Lord. See? What was it? Precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. They got carried away with these other things. They would not stay with the Lord and the Word and settle down. Now he said, listen, you're all clean but one. He knew who was going to betray him. Brother Branham said Jesus had his Judas, I had mine too. I think Brother Branham was very kind to just say he had one Judas. I think he had a whole fistful. They weren't in the front yard, they were sure in the backyard. After he washed their feet, and they're taking his garment, was set down, he said, do you know what I've done to you? You know something? That's the way God always works through prophets. He manifested and said, you know what happened here? What is this all about? He said, no, tell me. And they tell him. That's the revelation. So here we are tonight in a foot washing scene. Our foot washing scene takes us right back to the beginning of what I explained and we saw in here. And we are living it right tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, because I'm going to tell you something. There is only one life. That's real life. And that's God. And He doesn't change. And so therefore, it just must be the entire, like a circle, just moving and moving. And out of that plane shoots out what you might call the dominant role. It comes back in again. And at the right time, that same role comes forward. But He's only one God, with one mind, with one way. And it's laid out here so many times. And tonight, as I said, here we are at the end of time, just going right back to the beginning, only this time He Himself is here. That one that, not the flesh, but God Himself. And pretty soon, if we just hold with this, and remember, we have already been declared clean. He said, you're the righteous, virtuous by the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. See? So, all right. Let's not swing this way and that way. Let's be rock solid bride of Christ in the name of the Lord. Let's rise at this time and the brethren come forward. We'll pray and consecrate the bread and the wine and then foot washing immediately afterward. And you all know how to come beginning at the back. And the ladies, there's foot washing there. If you want to draw those partitions, you can. But the men won't be going back anyway, so you won't need to tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to approach Your great throne of grace again, Lord, thanking You for the words that You give us, the understanding You put before us. We marvel at it, Lord, and we thank You. We certainly do. And now we're going to just rest in the fact that what You said counts, not what we think. Not what we say, not what we do, but it starts with thus saith the Lord, and it stays with thus saith the Lord, and we put it first, trusting by Your grace that we can enter into the act of faith that lies before us and stay within the framework of the revealed Word even as we do, so that You receive the glory and it becomes living Word as never before. Consecrate these emblems, O God, to their intended use, which is to absolutely show forth Your death until You come, and at the same time realize that the blood that was shed forth the life, and the life came back upon us. And we partaking are merely informing ourselves again of that which took place, and yet is taking place on the very grounds that the Word tonight is actually, as it were, Your body that we partake of and get life, and that life in that Word suffuses us, Lord. We're looking for the great resurrection and the great rapture, not because of us, no, but because of You, Lord, and we take our stand with it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to praise and thank You again for Your rich goodness toward us, Lord, knowing that what You prize very highly, Your Word, most men not just ignore, but they tend to battle it even as Satan did and even as the beast did. And then Cain, and then right on down through time, we see that that is the battleground. It's over Your Word. But Lord, we know You're faithful to Your Word, and seeing that, then, Lord, we take our side with Your Word. Help us to ever keep that in mind and know that what has been given to us under those seals vindicated, because it has been vindicated, then it's enough to put us into the rapture. And we appreciate that tonight, Lord, and that's where the solid rock is. That's where the unchanging, reliable, Almighty God Yourself resides in that Word. And having Your Word then, therefore, Lord, we know that we have You, and we are on the Lord's side. Dismiss us with Your rich blessing. Go with us tonight. Give us rest and peace and strength in our bodies, Lord, and bring us back to more determined than ever, and from these days onward, more determined than ever to believe Your Word, to love Your Word, to serve You by it, and do whatever we can for each other. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, giving You the glory. Amen. Take the name.